Hope my buddy Jeff is listening. One of his favorite tunes. How you doing, Jeff? Anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. No, we're not in a relationship. He's just a really good friend. Anyway, well, for now, I mean, I can always hope. But anyway, we're talking about dogs and cats and pets in general. And have we become a sickening society when it comes to humanizing our pets? When you were growing up, I'll bet you anything, the family dog was the dog. The family cat was the cat. But somewhere over the past 20 years, and possibly this is related to Facebook and social media, the expression fur babies came into being. And Tim Wager came up with this topic yesterday, and he sent me an email. And me being me, I responded, Tim, I do not respond to any email containing the words fur babies. Anyway, you may have a different opinion. Do you think people are just like going over the top when it comes to dogs? Like, if you want to get away for a weekend and your first concern is the hotel dog friendly? If you want to go out for a meal and the first concern is, well, is the restaurant dog friendly? There's a reason dogs don't drive cars. I mean, squirrels can water ski, we know that, but there's a reason dogs aren't teaching in universities. You know why? Because they're not human, and they are pets. They're animals. We are animals. We just happen to be at the top of the food chain. But I think that some people kind of put their dogs at the top of the food chain. Now, before we go any further, I want your calls, obviously, because without your calls, the show would suck listening to me drone on and on every day. Yeah, shut up. What else is new? 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But I love dogs. And look, I've given a lot of money over the years to the SPCA serving Erie County, okay? More money to that charity than any other charity to which I have given, okay? So it's not like I'm some animal hater on the radio. So understand that. And this show and this radio station, and you guys who have contributed, you guys have raised millions of dollars for the SPCA serving Erie County. So I know where your heart is. And we're going to do the Radiothon again this year in December to raise money for the SPCA serving Erie County. But I love pit bulls. I know it's not politically correct. I love pit bull. I've never met a pit bull I didn't like. Then again, I haven't really been around dog fights. Not really my bag. I like Cavachons, the friendliest dogs ever. And I'm also rather fond of Cavapoos. I've met one Cavapoo in my life. I love that dog. Absolutely love it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dog. And I love its personality. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Cavachons, if you don't know what a Cavachon is, basically probably the world's worst watchdog, because somebody breaks into your house to do you harm, the Cavachon is going to think, ooh, the burglar, Charles Manson, is here to see me. Hi, Charles. I don't think they're the smartest breed in the world, but that's just me. Let's get back to the calls before I get into trouble here on WBEN. David of California. David was in a relationship with a real live woman. At least every time he inflated her, she was real and live. You're not laughing, David. But then David came down with neuropathy and a 100% disability, had to wait 6 years for his disability claim to go through. His girlfriend could not deal with the fact that he was now disabled, so she split like a banana. And then David is in Buffalo, and a relative has property on the east side, and that's where we left off the story of your service dog's entry into the world of working mutts.
Yep, that's right. That's all pretty correct, except for one thing. The girl just changed the way our relationship dynamic was working. She didn't leave. I gave her the boot because she was acting like a fool. Because she's like, well, what am I going to do now? He doesn't have a job, and she's in the wine industry. I got her in the wine industry. So, like, oh, But anyway, that's not the important thing.
She certainly learned how to whine, huh? I guess doing talk radio, I'm in the wine industry as well, W-H-I-N-E. Yeah, so but look, here's the fact of the matter is, okay? Here's the fact. And I hate to say it, but some people in this world lack empathy. And everything is fine and dandy when, you know, you're chugging along like a locomotive, but the minute you hit a speed bump or two, they're out of there. They can't deal with it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But let me tell you the story about how I got this dog. So I'm in California, and I the girl's gone. I'm going to move back to Buffalo. I'm going to drive across the country, which I shouldn't have done because I barely feel the pedals. But I got there, and I sold my car as soon as I got to Buffalo. But I'm like, the spot where I was going, my aunt's place, is a perfect spot for dogs. It's a triple city lot, completely fenced in. She's got two pit bulls over there, another dog, and 8 cats, all rescue. Now, she's going to move in with my grandmother, who's in her 90s, in Wheatfield, and take care of her, and I'm going to watch her place and take care of her animals. So I could bring a dog. So this is a great setup, right? I'm going to be with them all the time. So I decided to go to the pound, and it was on February 29th, the year, you have to figure out the year, 2016, 2015, whatever it was, whenever the last leap day was. And the pound was having a sale, $29 any dog out the door. So I said, you know, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to rescue a dog, and I'm looking for a pit bull because that's my aunt has 2 pit bulls. They're great dogs, as long as you get them when they're, you know, early. They haven't been abused.
I love pitties.
No doubt. No, they're awesome. But so I looked at 3 females. I didn't want a puppy. They were all about 3 years old. 3 females. They were all great. I decided on one of them, and I said to the guy, I said, I'll take this one here in the middle. She's great. And I explained to him the situation I was going to. It was very dog-friendly. I was going to be there constantly, everything cool. And he said, okay, come on in. We'll fill out the paperwork. And then his manager came out. This woman said to me, she goes, you know, I'm not sure. Are you sure you can hit? I explained it to her. Great situation. And she said, well, you know what? Why don't you just come back in 3 days? Think about it for 3 days. Come back in 3 days. We'll give you the same price.
What is this, a waiting period? Like you're going to buy a weapon? Come on. Sorry, go ahead.
Well,
please.
Here's what happens, Tom, is that people will go to the pound. People who fight dogs will go to the pound and get dogs like a 3-year-old pit bull that's not real. It's kind of lazy. That's the one I wanted, the one that was kind of calm. And they'll get them as bait dogs to train their fighter. So I didn't argue with her.
Look, everybody in the city knows there's one family in charge of the dog fighting racket. Everybody knows who they are. Cops know. The SPCA knows. And I'm pretty sure you're not connected to that family. And probably there's no paper trail whatsoever to that family. I don't understand the 3-day waiting period, but continue, please.
Okay, but don't forget, this is California, too, bro. So,
I thought you said it was Buffalo. So anyway, you drove all across the country.
No,
and then...
I said I was moving back. I was going to move back to Buffalo, but I was in California, and I was going to take the dog back with me. Okay, so this is 2 weeks before I move back to Buffalo. I want to get the dog, and I'm going to take the dog back to Buffalo with me. So, and I was on the border of depression anyway, you know, and I was going to have all this time on my hands. I have the time for a dog. I've always liked dogs. They're really cool. Good for your soul, my soul anyway. So I go, so now I'm driving home from the pound, and I'm going to stop at my local bar and have a couple beers before I go home. It's middle of the afternoon on whatever, like a weekday. And I walk into the bar, and my friend's sitting there, and he goes, hey, what's up? I thought you were going to the pound to get a dog. And I told him what happened. And he's like, oh, okay. I said, well, I'm just going to go back in 3 days. It's fine. I don't really care. It's all right. So I get halfway through my first beer, and the door opens up, and this cute little hippie chick with what I assume is her boyfriend walks in, and she's holding a puppy, 9 weeks old. And she goes, does anyone want a puppy? Now, you know, my friend looked at me, and he's like, you know, I mean, and I didn't want a puppy, but I said, what do you have? She said, it's 75% Malamute, 25% wolf. I said, how big is it going to get? She said, the mother is 100 pounds, but this is the runt of the litter, and she's bad, and nobody wants her. And I said, well, how much? It, you know, she didn't think it would get to 100 pounds. She actually weighs 65 pounds. It was just perfect. So I said, how much you want for her? She said, 250. I said, well, I don't pay for dogs, so I'll give her a good home. And she looked at her boyfriend and said, I can tell this guy's going to give her a really good home. Let's just give him the dog. And she said, you know, she has her first round of shots. So I gave her $50 for that, you know. She didn't ask for it, but I gave it to her. It's fair enough. So I paid £50 for the dog, drove back across the country. And she, like I said, she's been everywhere with me and invaluable, just in every way, shape, and form. Okay, and if I could, I'd just like to tell you about her name. I think you'd find this interesting. Her name is Viv, V-I-V, but it's actually Vivian Thomas, and then my last name if you want to get technical.
I don't need your last name,
so Vivian. No. But have you ever heard of a black man named Vivian Thomas and his work on Blue Babies back in the 40s, 50s?
No, it's
John Hopkins.
It's lost on me.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite people in American history. Vivian Thomas is a black man who he was a carpenter by trade. His father taught him it, and he was going to go to he wanted to be a doctor, and he was a teenager in the 20s, saved up a bunch of money, and then the stock market crashed, the banks went under, and he lost all of his money. He ended up hooking up with a guy named Alfred Blalock. And it was a famous white surgeon. And they did, do you know what a blue baby is? Are you old enough?
Yeah, well, I just only from what I've read, basically, I know it's a cardiac situation. I know
right.
It's got a medical name other than blue baby syndrome.
Stenosis. It's called stenosis.
Cyanotic heart disease, stenosis. Something like that.
Yeah, so the heart and the lungs don't, the heart works fine. And the lungs work fine, but they're not connected properly. So the blood that's pulsing through the child's body, the infant's body, isn't getting oxygenated.
I need to kind of wrap this up here and get to some other people.
Okay.
So you named your dog in honor of this guy who did work on cyanotic heart disease. Okay.
But there's a movie about it. I'll just finish it up right here. There's a movie called Something the Lord Made that's free on YouTube. And if you watch the movie, it's 100% accurate. There are tons of documentaries about this guy. He's the least known American saved millions of lives at this point. Him and a lot of people have heard of the white guy, Blalock. You know, when I go in for medical testing, I say, have you ever heard of Vivian Thomas? The dog goes with me. I'll say, and everyone's like, no. And then I'd say, have you heard of Alfred Blalock? And then about half the people would say, yeah, I've heard of him. So anyway, it's a fascinating story.
Thank you. I got to go, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. All right. Interesting bit of historical trivia. But frankly, with the specialization of medicine, ask your cataract surgeon a genitourinary question, and you're probably going to get a blank stare. Yeah, they had to do the rotation in medical school, but it's so freaking specialized. It really is. So unless somebody is focused on cardiovascular disease or pulmonary issues, they might not know Vivian Thomas, or might not have a familiar knowledge of cyanotic heart disease. But I mean, there's all kinds of doctors. Some know everything about everything, just like lawyers. Some lawyers know everything about everything, and some stick to the only area in which they specialize. Anyway, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Dan on the west side of Buffalo. You are on. Hello.
Hello, Tim. Let me turn you off speaker.
How come we have to go through this every time, dude? For as often as you call, why do we have to go through this every time?
Tim, I'm on hold for 5 minutes. I have to walk away. Anyway,
no excuse. I should always come first.
The varmints, fur bearing varmints, that's what I call them.
You're going to get me in trouble.
The Yosemite Sam is my hero. He's my idol. See, I'm still funny.
I know, but you're making me snort laugh.
Well, too bad you're not drinking chocolate milk.
keep going.
My brother's pit, 60-pound muscle head, with really nothing between the ears that we could detect. But she was running towards me across a field, snowy field. She disappears behind the snowbank. Next thing, she's coming through face first. Listen, she had no idea what she had just done. But that's, pit bulls. They don't have much between the ears. But we love them anyway. And this was a people dog, too. She was perfectly safe with people, not good with other dogs. She would hurt other dogs, and, we tried not to give her the chance. But she loved people, loved bites, but the cats were astounding because of the language comprehension. They didn't need learned words to know what you were talking about. And I call them all kinds of names, variations of names, all this kind of. They always knew who I was talking to. The gray cat, my first. She was okay, so brainy.
With all due respect to your animals, the real topic here is: are we turning our pet animals into little human beings? Are we putting too much stress?
They can do better than that on their own. They're amazing. They really are. The cats, especially. But we get attached to them, you know, of course. But as a matter of fact, my ex was yelling at me back in the 80s, "You're letting that cat get too attached to you." And I didn't understand that, but it became clearer as things went on. I mean, people do get goofy with animals, but
hold on if you want. We continue this scintillating conversation after the break, okay? But I don't know where the line is, guys and ladies, my loves. I don't know where the line is between a healthy connection between you and your pet, and basically, I guess the line I would say is, if your entire life as a human being surrounds your pet, you've only got one life. You don't get a do-over. And if you've been saving your whole life to go on a 30-day cruise to Hawaii and you don't do it because the cruise ship won't allow a dog, I think that's a waste. You don't get another shot at that. And if you're going to travel, you'll want to do it when you're ambulatory and when you've got a lower risk of unfortunate medical issues arising on vacation. 803-0930. Are we treating our pets too much like human beings? And the word fur babies, when you hear it, do you say, "Aw, that is so cute and adorable," or do you want to vomit? 28 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
Well, the bus pulled away in a roaring black cloud. Well, I stood.
Awesome country song.
Hey, darling, I love you.
Hey, I'll just let it go for a minute here.
Whoa, but you can't stop a woman when she's out of control. She's crazy, believe it. I told her so. When the boys at the bus stop just said, "Man, let her go."
Oh, yep. She's crazy. Remember that show we did on country music? We had Josh Schmidt. I don't know how I didn't play this song as a musical bump. Nor did we play Dave Dudley's 6 Days on the Road. Another, well, that's like classic country. Okay, that's classic trucker country. 803-0930 is the phone number. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. And if you're just joining us, let me just try to set up the show again. Speaking Canadian for the people north of the border every now and again to keep them in the, you know. When many of us were growing up, we had the family dog or the family cat. And they were dogs, and they were cats. But something has happened. Something has changed societally. And I see that more and more people seem to be treating their dogs and cats like they're little people. Like dressing them up in outfits all the time. Basically basing their lives around the dog. And again, I mean, you've got X number of years on this planet, and X number of years, you're going to enjoy traveling. And my goodness, if you've always wanted to take a cruise to Hawaii, and you're not going to do it because, oh, I can't leave the dog alone for a month, sorry, but you got priorities, man. Dog's going to be fine. 803-0930, the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Are people going over the edge too much when it comes to their pets? And you want to talk about intelligent pets. The African gray parrot is extremely smart. In fact, Gina Latuca from the SPCA, every now and again they run out of room, so she's got to share her office with a bird. Usually it's an African gray. And Gina will be eating her lunch, and the bird will come on over, and Gina has to share the grapes and everything else that she was going to eat for lunch with the bird. Bird is a very smart, intelligent animal. Let's go back to Dan on the west side, who hopefully isn't on speaker. So, Dan, you're talking about the over-humanizing of pets. Is that a thing?
Oh, you want to know who the worst category of people are for that? Childless couples. Childless couples get weird with the animal. I mean, it's just like you will stand there with your mouth open watching it.
Time out. Who's worse, childless couples or people who thought they were going to have grandchildren who don't have grandchildren?
Well, I don't know those people, but I know the childless couple. I'm thinking of a pair right now.
I'm sure they're listening and very happy you're discussing it.
Well, that's what I was afraid of.
I'm such a tool.
I mean, there's no doubt they would know who I'm talking about either. And I'll tell you what, my brother and this guy from this couple both have psychology degrees and no clue about training a dog.
I don't quite get the parallel between a degree in psychology and dog training. Those would seem to me to be two completely separate entities, unless you're talking about basic Pavlovian response.
My neighborhood is full of people who don't have degrees who are very adept at training their pets. This guy couldn't train a sheepdog, and his wife, they had to get rid of the dog. It got out of control. Then they started getting small dogs that they could get really silly over. And I'm just telling you, you know, like somebody with a psych degree should have some clue about training a dog. You know, it should be part and parcel with what they're doing, with their training. I had to train white rats in the psych department at Buff State. I never got a degree. I'm very proudly self-educated, but I've seen amazing things from those people.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm telling the audience, because you already know this. The rat is one of the most intelligent creatures in the world. They are brilliant. Dan, I have to get to some other people. I am glad you called. My mom, when she was a little girl, actually raised rats for a science experiment, which I kind of think in retrospect was rather cruel, but I guess all in the name of science. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I told you probably way too many times the story about how I used to feed the birds in the backyard, but then one winter I walked out with a bag of bird seed and this rat came around the corner and got up on its rear legs like, ooh, dinner is served. And I thought, all right, enough of this. The birds can fend for themselves. God wouldn't have put them here unless he had nutrition for them somewhere under the snow, right? And no, it doesn't bother me if my neighbors feed the birds. I'm not that guy. You know, it's just like there's so many things in life to get worked up over, and that just isn't one of them. And I haven't seen a rat because we've got more cats in the neighborhood than, you know, they keep the population under control. Okay, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Are we getting too serious with our fur babies? And no, I hate that expression. I truly do. Hate might be a strong word. I find it to be an annoyance. I don't lose sleep over it, but it's like a mini annoyance. It's like when people say, no worries, no worries. The minute you say no worries, I start to worry. You're on WBEN. Welcome. We might get into that next hour. John in Lancaster, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Well, it's a beautiful day.
Well, to give you a comment about this thing with people and dogs, and I know you're right. Some people are treating them like the little babies and little humans. And they're not little humans, they're dogs. But I got dogs. I love my dogs. My dogs are my friends. And I trust my dogs. And I trust my dogs a lot better than I trust a lot of people, or more than most people. The problem I'm having, and I don't know if anyone else is having this too, though, is that now I'm a Christian. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what if the rapture happens? And if the rapture happens, what's going to happen to my dogs? And I'm thinking, they're going to be all freaked out because, you know, my whole family's gone and they're sitting there alone. So I got to go out and make me some atheist friends so that if the rapture happens, they can take care of my dogs. But being a good Christian, I'm going to probably end up converting them. And then I'm back to square one again. And I know this sounds kind of foolish, but it's a thought on my mind. Well, what happened if I'm called up to heaven and I got my dogs at home? You know, and this is something I'm seriously considering.
Don't you think that an all-loving, all-powerful God would understand that and would bring the animals along with you to the great paradise in the sky?
Well, I would certainly hope so, but, you know, you always hope for the best but plan for the worst.
But why? Let's go a little bit deeper on this, okay? First of all, the concept of eternal life. Do you find that appealing? The endless conversation. Do you find eternal life appealing?
The whole concept of eternal life, I think people have a misconception of eternal life. I have a different idea of it. I mean, you're alive. You're thinking. You're there. You're always there. And, you know, time itself doesn't really exist. It's just always now. So you're always going to be in a state of now.
Some people are in a 5D state. I mean, okay, now, without getting too metaphysical here, but let me ask you this. If you're going to be alive for eternity in a place that is supposedly God's paradise, why would God keep dogs and cats and horses out of heaven when they provide the physical human being, and I dare say in many cases the spiritual human being, with a great source of comfort and solace? There's only so much conversation you're going to have with St. Peter, sir.
I think the old saying goes, all dogs go to heaven. That ain't an issue. I'm just worried about the ones I might be leaving behind. I've got a whole bunch of dogs that have preceded me, and I can't wait to see them again.
If you think you're going to see them again, by default, that means that you believe dogs are going to be in paradise ever after. So all you need to do theoretically then with that belief system is find some people who are atheists to watch your dogs until such time as they're ready to join you. Of all of the phone calls that I was not expecting today, this is right up there with cuckolded by a shepherd.
Stimulate the conversation a little bit, you know?
Well, it's a really interesting concept. I mean, I guess, you know, my own situation is somewhat more temporal as opposed to spiritual, that I don't want to kick off and leave family with a responsibility that they don't need, a dog or a cat. They don't need that. And I think it would be sad for the cat, because my cat's become very attached to me. It is what it is. I'm not quite the cat whisperer, because the neighborhood cat has only let me pet him once, but headbutts the neighbor regularly. I'm insanely jealous of the neighbor, by the way. Interesting take. I wonder how many other people have that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Certainly. You know, the whole thing about eternal life, we've got to do a show on that. I mean, it's a little bit deep for the afternoon. I mean, it might be better, like, doing an overnight show. It's like taking George Norrie off the air some night, and I'll come in and do Everlasting Life. What is it? The biggest fear that I would have about Everlasting Life is, you know, at a party, ladies, I'm sure you can relate to this, there's always the one guy who just doesn't leave you alone. And no matter where you go, you get followed, and your friends have to surround you to block that person out. I wonder if that happens in heaven, and whether you get, like, demerit points for that. And there's always going to be the guy who's not going to let Jesus alone, okay? Doesn't matter how many billions of people are waiting to do a meet and greet. He's going to tie up Jesus for a few millennia, I'm just saying. So, tell you what, the choice is yours. I don't mind continuing this topic at all about people over-humanizing their dogs and, in many cases, like almost putting the dog's needs in front of their own needs. And I think it's kind of sad. I mean, you might know people like this who they're all about their dogs. And some of them pay more attention to their dogs than they do their children. And childless couples, I could see how that can happen. Couples that wanted grandchildren that don't have grandchildren, I can see that happening. But, you know, everything in perspective, everything in its proper place. All right. I mean, I know a lot of people like that, but I will tell you, it's not me. For as much as do I have to tell you how much I loved Glenna Cat and Candy Cat, Cuddle Cat and Haley Cat? No, you know, I did. Nonetheless, they were cats. Were they part of me? Were they good friends and buddies? Absolutely. But, you know, once you've buried a few people you love in this life, it kind of puts things in a little bit of perspective for you, all right? And quite frankly, with the fentanyl and some of the other stuff out there, I've been to enough human funerals in the past few years that I try to keep these things in perspective. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to animal lovers because I love them as much as you do, but I got to put humans at the top of the hierarchy. I mean, decent humans, not people like the bike path killer or the tops maniac. Those people, you know, they're subhuman category and should be treated accordingly. I didn't just say that. Okay, it is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, come on, I can't be the only person who roots for jailhouse violence in some cases. Come on.